The Dormition of the Mother of God. The early church traditions tell us that Mary, toward the end of her life, she had been praying. She may have lived in Ephesus for a short period with John. We don't know for sure, but there are some indications of that. We do know with certainty, however, that if she had gone to Ephesus, she returned to Jerusalem. Because we know that in Jerusalem is the place where she prayed, in her home there, and prayed daily on the Mount of Olives, where her son had ascended. According to the early Christian story, she would leave her house on Mount Zion. We know the location still today. And she would go down in down the Kidron Valley and cross over up into the Mount of Olives and pray in the spot where he had ascended, praying that she would see him someday soon again from the very place that he had departed from this earth. Mary was told one day by the angel Gabriel that it was time for her to go to be with her son, and so prepare herself for her falling asleep, her dormition, which was a euphemism in that period for death. Today we say passing away. The location of Mary's house is known today not only because the early Christian stories that this is the place where she lived, but it is also because this is the place where she died. It is today the original church that is the original church is on top of the original house where she lived, and that is now covered over the Byzantine ruins that had been destroyed by the godless Muslims during the Crusades. Has now been covered over and built over by a big, beautiful church called the Church of the Dormition, run by the, I believe, the Benedictines, I think. One of the most big and beautiful Roman Catholic churches in Jerusalem, the Church of the Dormition. Many people think the word Dormition is an Eastern thing, but this is the name of the feast, East and West. In Latin, this is the official name of the feast. The Feast of the Dormition. This is the place where she died. And when she died, she was taken by the apostles who were around. There were various stories about the gathering of the apostles. We know that they were all there when she died, and they carried her body in procession across the Kidron Valley, just past the spot where she had been praying, and went to the tomb of her family. The tomb of her family. That tomb, where they buried her body, is also still known today. There's a beautiful little crypt church there. The tomb where they buried her, her family tomb, is just across the valley, and we're talking about a valley that you could throw a stone across, it's not very big, from the house where she was born. The house of St. Anne, Joachim and Anne, was right there in Jerusalem, next to the spot where eventually they also buried their family members. Someday, if you have the opportunity, you can go with us on maybe another eparchial tour to the Holy Land and we'll see these things together. There is much confusion today among armchair theologians. You'll sometimes hear people saying, well, I don't know if Mary died, or no, Mary didn't die, she was assumed. This is heresy. Mary died. All of the liturgical prayers say she died. Popes have referred to the death of Mary. She died. The problem is people get confused about the fact that Mary was sinless. And so they say, well, how could she die? The problem is coming from a reformational understanding that somehow death is the result or the punishment for sin. Okay? Sin is not the breaking of a rule that ends in a punishment. Sin is the separating yourself from God, and at the end, of course, you find death if you separate yourself from the source of life. However, we know throughout salvation history that those who have been united with God in this life have remained united with Him even after this earthly life, sometimes going through the passageway of death. An example of this is Enoch, who was called righteous in the book of Genesis, and he was taken alive. Assumed into heaven. Elijah in the fiery chariot, taken alive. Moses, most people are unfamiliar with the ancient tradition, but it's recorded in Deuteronomy 34 and Jude, verse 9, that Moses, when he died, he did not die because of old age or because of sin or anything. His job was over. And so Moses died on the mountain, overlooking Mount Nebo, overlooking the Promised Land. And then it says God buried him. God buried him, which is a reference to the ancient tradition that was kept among the Israelites and also referred to in the New Testament in the book of Jude, that Moses was bodily taken. This tradition has been forgotten, unfortunately, today. Although still alive in the West during the Renaissance, in the back of the Sistine Chapel, nearing Jesus' ascension, the giver of the first covenant, is Moses' assumption. Mary was assumed bodily after her death. The apostles came to the tomb and they found the tomb empty. You say, this sounds like Jesus. Absolutely! Mary died. She lived a life in perfect conformity to the will of God. A beautiful image of the life of her son. She died in perfect harmony according to the will of God, as her son did. She rose 3 days later from the tomb as a great gift from God for what she had done. She is then among the faithful after the resurrection of Jesus, the pioneer. The pioneer. She is the first among Christians who said yes to the will of God and received Him within her. This is what we are all called to do. She gave birth to the Word of God in the world, which is what we are all called to do. And we are called to live a life of perfect holiness, imaging her who imaged her Son, even unto death, with the hope, as with her, of a future bodily resurrection. The tomb was found empty and nothing but a beautiful fragrance of flowers. And so the tradition in the church today is still to, on this Feast of the Dormition, the falling asleep of the Virgin, or as the popular term has developed in the West in recent years, the Assumption, whatever you want to call it, emphasizing two different aspects to the same story, the tomb was found empty and just the fragrance of flowers. And so the church is usually filled with flowers on this day, East and West. Let us live our lives today. And tomorrow, and the third day, and thereafter, in perfect accord with the life of Mary, who lived her life in accord with the life of Jesus. Let us die like Mary, who died like her son. And may we, if we have lived our lives in accordance with him, rise also on the third day. Glory be to Jesus Christ, and His eternal Father, and His all-holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and to ages of ages. Amen.